The words of God given to us today is Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Please turn to page 125 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Allow me to read the words of God. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Amen. The Pansori novel, Chunhyang-jeon, is probably the most famous of all Korean classical story. Chunhyang-jeon was first made into a movie in 1923 and has been made into movies and TV dramas for over 20 times since. You won't even be able to count the exact number of times it has been made into other productions, if you include pansori, musical, opera, theatric play, ballet, and other performances. In 1961, Kim Ji-mi and Choi Eun-hee, the greatest actresses of the time, were casted as Chunhyang in the movies Chunhyang-jeon and Song Chunhyang, respectively. And the two movies were played in the movie theaters at the same time with just 1 week interval between their premieres. The story, Chunhyang-jeon, is quite fun to read. But if any one of us was actually Chunhyang, it would have been quite a painful life. Chunhyang's father was a champan, or a vice minister in today's term. And her mother was a kiseng, or courtesan, that belonged to the lowest of class. At the time, people had to follow the mother's social status, so Chunhyang naturally belonged to the low class. And one day, she falls in love with Mongnyong, the son of Namonpusa, or the magistrate. Even today, where social hierarchy doesn't really exist anymore, the two will have difficulty in seeking permission to get married from either of their families. This was something unimaginable 300 years ago. On the surface, Chunhyang-jeon very much resembles the truth of Christianity. We Christians are very much like Chunhyang in the story. And of course, Mongnyong would be Jesus Christ. Considering the situation of the time, Chunhyang was from a social class that was socially forbidden for her to be loved by Mongnyong. Likewise, we aren't qualified to be loved by the Lord, but we are loved anyway. And Pyeonsatdo, or Magistrate Byun, is the very Satan. Just as Byun kept trying to win over Chunhyang to have her in his bed and had her neck held in a pillory to torment her, Satan uses various ways to seduce us or presses down on us to trip us down. For Chunhyang, there would have been nothing more anticipating than for the day Mongnyong would come back as the royal secret inspector. Christians are also waiting for a day, which is the day our Lord comes back. The day of the Son of Man. There are always things that try to shake us, whatever we do or however we live. You may be enticed to make excessive profit according to the worldly values, when you try to live as a Christian entrepreneur. You may be oppressed to not live properly like a Christian office worker should. You may be made to reign over other people rather than to serve them, using the state power when you try to live as a Christian public official. Your mind may be swayed to not live as a Christian housewife should. You may be seduced to not live like a Christian student normally would. And when that day comes, we may either live sucking up to the world, that is our 편삭도, or live with our forever 몽룡, Jesus Christ, as our purpose, however hard life is. So our lives as Christians would be like 신 춘향전, or God's 춘향전, with 신 meaning God in Korean. The best scene inside 춘향전 is when 몽룡 recites a poem. 편, upon celebrating his birthday, holds a large feast, have fun, and then tries to execute 춘향 after. At the time, shabby-dressed 몽룡 was feeding himself at the feast. In order to mock 몽룡, the officials and the yangbans, or the noblemen, that attended the feast requested 몽룡 to compose a poem. 몽룡 then recites the poem that is famous inside 춘향전, 금준미주 천인혈, the fragrant wine in the golden cup is made with the blood of 1,000 people. 옥방가요는 만성고라, the mouth-watering appetizers served on jade trays are made from exploiting from all people. 종로낚시에 민누나기니, when candle drips on the candlestick, the tears of the people flow down. 가장고처의 원성고라, where the music is loud is where the people's resentment sounds loud. After reciting the poem, 몽룡 announces the appearance of himself as a royal secret inspector, and the 춘향전 ends with the grand finale by him and 춘향 reuniting. A widow like 춘향 and a judge like 편 in 춘향전 appear in today's passage. A widow suffered from an unfair case and pleaded for the judge to find her justice. But the judge did not listen. And yet, the widow did not give up and kept going to see the judge. The judge finally listened to her plea. Because of what this context shows on the surface, the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge was thought to mean to us Christians that if we cling on and plead to God enough to tire him, God will listen to us. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells the disciples about the story of a friend that came at midnight. A man visited his neighboring friend at midnight, asking to lend 3 loaves of bread. He said that his friend came to visit from a journey, and he has no bread to offer. But the neighboring friend refused to do so because the door is already locked and he and his family are all in bed together. The Palestinians at the time lived a very open life. When she opened the door to the house in the morning, anyone could come and go as much as they pleased. But if the door was shut, no one could get inside without permission. A shut door was a sort of a sign asking to respect their privacy. So it may seem that what the neighboring friend said and did was cold-hearted and sounded like an excuse. but it really wasn't that weird or harsh. At the time, a poor farmer's house only had a single space. In that space, the entire family all lived together. They lit fire at the center of the house, and the entire family would sleep around that fire. Also at the time, most people had a large family, so in that single space, 3 to 4 generations of a family lived together, and at times, relatives or workers of the house also lived together. When someone wakes up and walks around in the middle of the night, while so many people are sleeping together in one room, it would have been very disturbing for the others in the family. That is why the neighboring friend refused to get up. But Jesus concluded the story as follows. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. The lexical meaning of the word plea is to request earnestly. The Korean Revised Version that was used in the past translated this plea as persistent demand. This is why people often think that if we pray unreasonably and demandingly, beyond being desperate, that God will listen to the prayer. So this passage was often referred to as a forceful prayer. But the reason why Jesus told about this story was not to emphasize about the forceful prayer, but to emphasize that God is unlike human. In other words, it was to show that God cares for us, even in such times, even though people consider it's natural for a person to refuse a friend's request to borrow bread in the middle of the night. Today's passage is also one of the words that people use as a basis for forceful prayer. A good number of people believe that if we pray earnestly and desperately and cling on to God so much that he will tire of us, then God will listen to our prayers. However, Jesus did not tell the story to teach us that. Verse 1 testifies as follows. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Here, the emphasis is not on always pray, but is on not give up. In other words, this passage is not a parable about how God listens to his children's prayer, but explains about the reason why he does not listen. Let me reiterate. This is not about how God listens to his children's prayer, but explains about the reason why he does not listen. That there is a reason why he doesn't listen. To reiterate, this is not a story about how to receive an answer to our prayers, but a story to tell us not to be bewildered when you don't receive an answer to what seems appropriate enough prayer to receive one. Verse 2 tells us as follows. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. There was a judge, and he strictly admired the values of the city, did not fear God, and looked down on people. He was thoroughly secular. What he could see was everything. The judge in the passage is not just someone who makes rulings at a court, but a top power holder of the legislation, jurisdiction, and administration of the city he rules. 변사또 from Chunhyangjeon is a Namon Pusa, a magistrate of Namon. He was in the highest position there is in Namon district. The judge from the judges in the Old Testament was also called a judge because he was involved in many works regarding trials and was, in fact, a chief of one or more tribes of Israel. Verse 3 continues as follows. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." In any ancient society, widow, as well as orphan, was like a synonym for feeble and poor people. It was more so 2,000 years ago in Israel, where it was a male-centered society. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 tells us as follows. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. The verb plead is a word that means an argument between those involved in a lawsuit at a court. Widows did not have any legal knowledge to win over the argument against their counterparts. Nor did they have enough money to appoint someone with the knowledge. For example, a lawyer. Thus, they could not win a trial. Nowadays, there are pro bono programs, but in trials of Israel at the time, where such programs did not exist, the officials and judges regarded widows bothersome. That is why God ordered for us to fight for the widow at the court and aggressively work to find the rights and interests of the widow. But this did not work out well. The widow, who did not have anyone to ask for help, went to the judge and requested for him to help her justice sought. What her grudge was, the Bible does not tell us in detail. But the Greek verb meaning to punish is ekdikeo, and this means to experience something unlawful or a fact that has been reversed due to wrong application of law. For instance, it means that someone has applied a wrong law to make her lose all her possessions or gave false witness to turn her into an assailant, even though it was obvious that she was a victim. So, this woman was already having a hard enough life living without her husband, and someone maliciously oppressed her. Thus, this woman had no other choice but to go see the judge. And verse 6 tells us what kind of a man this judge is. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says." He was an unjust judge. To punish and unjust both have the same root called law. The widow experienced something illegal, and contrarily, the judge was an unjust man. So, the unjust judge was not close to the widow, and was rather more close to being the adversary that tormented the widow. Verse 4 testifies as follows. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about people think." The unjust judge did not listen to the widow for some time. It wasn't that he didn't know of the plea or didn't hear about it. He intentionally did not listen. He knew of the plea and still turned away and ignored it. Furthermore, this unjust judge was aware of what kind of person he was. He knew he didn't fear God and that he didn't care what people think. And the reason why he ignored the plea of the widow was because it wouldn't bring him any benefit. the physical time of for some time may have been the same for both the widow and the unjust judge. But the psychological time was never the same for the two. God makes his children pass some time. It required 400 years of some time for the Israelites to change from being slaves of Egypt to people of God and then escape Egypt. The Israelites probably thought that it won't take any more than 1 or 2 months to reach Canaan once they got out of Egypt. But it was 40 years of some time that God had set. Joseph was in prison for 13 years after being sold off by his brothers and was sent as a servant to Potiphar, the captain of the guard for the Egyptian pharaoh. Then was falsely accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife. The writer of Psalms described such Joseph's life as follows: till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. In Psalms chapter 105, verse 19. The time that God had set for Joseph was 13 years of some time. Saul, who became Paul, headed towards Damascus to arrest Christians, but met with the resurrected Lord. The resurrected Lord came to meet with him and later became an apostle. When Saul met with the Lord, who shined more than the sun itself, he went blind, and it was the disciple Ananias who helped Saul to see again. The Lord said to Ananias about Saul, "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel." That doesn't mean that Saul went on to live the life of an apostle and went on an evangelical tour the very next day. What was waiting for him was the 13 years of some time of living in the wilderness of Arabia and seclusion at his home in Tarsus. We may each also have our own some time that God has set for us. How many days, months, or years it will be, no one really knows. It can even be a period after our death, just as it was 400 years for the Israelites. But what's important is that because that God had decided on how long that some time is, God knows of how long that some time is. That is why we can dwell within hope at all times. When the widow kept going to see the judge over and over again, verse 5 tells us of how the judge came to change his mind. "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." The reason why the unjust judge changed his mind was not because of how many times the widow came to him. The reason why he felt a hint of guilt and then changed his mind was the justfulness of the resentment that the widow had. If the widow's resentment was not justful, the judge would have charged the widow for a different offense and sent her to jail. The Greek verb for to attack or to strike, in particular, is hypopiazo, This word was used once more in the New Testament, aside from today's passage. It was used in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, as follows. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Strike, from no, I strike a blow to my body, is hypopiazzo. But the literal meaning of this word means to strike under the eye or to give a black eye. This term was used in martial arts for sports competitions like the ancient Olympic Games. When fighting against an opponent at an MMA or UFC match, you cover your head or face with at least one hand. You can bear up to continue if you're hit somewhere else, but just one blow on your head will keep you on the ground. Not only that, if you are hit on the head in the wrong way, it can be fatal. That is why in amateur boxing matches, boxers wore headgears to protect their heads for a while. When Apostle Paul was explaining about the two boxers competing and that one of them fell to the ground from being hit right under the eye, he says that the one that had fallen was himself. This means that this is how much he lives preaching, not by going after the values of the city or the selfishness tainted by the world, but to struggle so much before God to live a self-denying life. The widow's constant visit to the unjust judge nearly makes the judge fall on his face. The more the widow comes, the more the unjustfulness, greed, and incompetence of the judge are revealed. Thus, the judge felt a hint of guilt that he has no other choice but to listen to her, as he was on the verge of being humiliated by the public. Jesus explained the parable of the judge who kept ignoring and then eventually listened to the request of people, like the widow, who are deemed low in line with the relationship we have with God. Verse 7 tells us as follows, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" This story shows a big contrast. The judge is unjust, merciless, and greedy, but God is justful, benevolent, and caring. Also, in the perspective of the unjust judge, the widow is someone who is unimportant, and there is nothing wrong with ignoring her. However, in the eyes of God, who is righteous judge, we are his loving children. If it is an appropriate thing for the widow to go to the judge and request, "Grant me justice against my adversary," it is also appropriate for us to pray, "Please grant me justice against my adversary." However, verse 8 testifies as follows, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" God is willing to grant justice for us, but he tells us that there is no one who lives by faith until the very end. The reason why Jesus told us this parable is to encourage us not to give up and pray. Also, we should never despair, because the reason why we do not receive any answer, despite the fact that we are God's children, is not because God is incapable, not because he doesn't love us, nor because he doesn't care for us. God knows of our wishes the moment we pray. God can make us wait and not give us what we want despite the fact that He loves us very much and wants us to live our lives more abundantly. We do not know the reason why He makes us wait and not listen to our prayers right away. For some, He may mature their personalities through such waiting. And for some, He may soften their edgy personalities. He may have different reasons for different people. But one thing for sure is that God is definitely aware of our prayers. He loves us, and that He does not ignore or turn away from our prayers because He thinks low of us. That is why He tells us to pray and do not give up, and to live according to faith. Moses received God's calling while looking after his father-in-law's flock of sheep in the Midian desert for 40 years. From then on, he lived faithfully, obeying to God. However, Moses did not make it to the promised land. He cried to God in tears, "Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country in Lebanon." But God adamantly said, "That is enough. Do not speak to me any more about this matter." To think of it with the human way, it can seem unfair. It's not an easy thing to step back just before concluding a great achievement. This is because everyone favors a visible outcome. The reason why Moses can stand proud before us as a model of faith is because he obeyed at the time. Moses understood that the role given to him by God was just that much, and embraced it. When he breathed his last breath on this earth, he was not sick, nor were his sights blurry, but he obeyed just to the point that God had granted him. God did not even allow for him to know where his grave would be. But Moses knew that this was not because God turned away from him or did not love him. God valued Moses' such faith highly. And so, about 1,500 years later, he allowed Moses to talk about the Lord's death on the cross together with Jesus and Elijah in the promised land that he wanted to enter so dearly. Paul, who became an apostle for the Gentiles after meeting with the resurrected Lord, had thorn in the flesh in his body. We cannot know exactly what that is, but it was obvious that it was a fatal hindrance to his missionary works. Paul called it the messenger of Satan, because it was such a hindrance. Paul prayed 3 times because of the thorns. 3 times here does not refer to the number 3, but that he prayed so desperately about it. Jesus also prayed 3 times on the hill of Gethsemane, so that the cup of death that was bestowed on him be taken away. His prayer had been so serious and desperate. He sweated from his forehead as if he was bleeding. Paul's prayer of 3 times has a similar meaning. To say it in the way of today's message, he was saying, "God, please grant me justice." However, God only replied, "My grace is sufficient for you." Upon hearing such answer, Apostle Paul embraced it as it was. Apostle Paul understood that just because he didn't receive an answer as he had prayed for, that did not mean that God's love towards him had faded or that he was deserted by God. Instead, Apostle Paul was able to live a life of trusting the Lord for a lifetime because of the thorns in his flesh. That is why Apostle Paul remains as a symbol of faith that all Christians respect even after 2,000 years. What is the justice that needs to be granted for you? Is there anything you think that God did not yet give any answer to, even though you feel like it's a prayer God should listen to? Is there anything that makes you feel intimidated? Have nightmares about it? Or feel like a burden of life just by thinking about it? Also, is there anything that surges your anger or make you restless at night just by thinking about it? However, even if you do have such a thing, that does not weaken the love of God for us. Rather, let us not forget that because we have such things, we can all the more advance towards God. And through it, we are able to communicate deeper with God. Let us remember that justice or grudge is the very grace that God has given us because He loves us, because He loves me. Today, as well as other days, the world and demons attack us like Pianzato to have us fall. They mock us that when we pray, that our prayers are worthless. But even today, as well as other days, God is anxious to have our sights towards eternity and seeks for people like Chunyang, spiritual Chunyang, who concentrates on God. If you can make God your power and kneel before Him, it's a blessed life. Let us pray. Father God, although it seems that our surroundings are pressing us, we thank You for allowing us to think over that not only is God aware of everything that happens to us, but also that He loves us and cares about us. Even if it may seem that God often doesn't listen to our prayers or delays on giving answers, may we not be disappointed or give up on praying because of that, and engrave in our minds that this is God's will and there is a higher way for it. Let us not forget that our grudge that we wish to avenge is what prevents us from being arrogant and the grace that keeps our knees bent before God forever. And let us become the mature children of God who remember that this grudge is the sign of God's love towards us and the map of God that guides us. Also, let us remember that we are all to live as Chunyang in spirit on this earth. Just as the Lord has given us eternal life and made us be loved even though we are disqualified and unworthy, let us give all our hearts to love the Lord. Just like Chunyang, who was faithful to the end despite Pyeon's request, help us to keep our faith towards the Lord despite what the world requests us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.